there. Thanks for calling, Jasmine. She's not with us right now. She's off on a flight of fancy. But leave a message after the tone, and she'll get back to you as soon as she's returns. Oh, my goodness. I gotta slay off the juice.
Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast, where three adult daughters have eaten all the quarantine snacks. I'm Jasmine, and I'm here with 1313 Harbor's unofficial co-host, Dame Fino and Jenny Ray. I named you that.
Hello.
Do you like that?
Oh, thank you for an honor. Nice to be with you.
And I must say, I have not eaten all my snacks. Thank you.
Oh, good. I haven't eaten. I have some Cadbury eggs that I bought on sale when I went to the grocery store on Wednesday, much to my mother's chagrin. So this week's episode is a two-parter, but it's one – I shouldn't say two-parter. I should rephrase that. I realize I wrote that bad. Starting over again. So this week's episode is it is a two-parter, but it's one episode. So the first half is a deep dive into Yes, thank you. It's the same episode, but in two parts. The first half is a deep dive into Disney news, speculation, and a review of the new Disneyland Parade, Magic Happens. And the second half is an interview I did with Dreamfinder himself, Ron Schneider. Okay, so now let's get into the episode.
Let's do it.
I'm ready.
So Avengers Campus is coming to DCA, Walt Disney Studios in Paris, and Hong Kong Disney. So we're not the only ones who are going to have it. But today we're just going to talk about DCA because
it's all that matters to us.
All that matters. And it's the soonest that's going to open. It takes place in an alternative universe where the snap never happened.
I don't remember ever hearing that until you said that, which would be a thing I would think I would
Well, that's
notice.
Why, I mean, spoilers if you haven't seen Endgame. Sorry, Allison, I know you haven't seen it. I'm kidding.
I was about to gasp. I was like,
oh! But like Iron Man will be there. You know, people who may or may not have survived that movie will be in there. You know, Captain America won't be an old man. So it's weird though that like, because I was reading a release from Disney and they're saying that there's going to be the Marvel cinema, like what do you call it, universe history, and then there's the theme park universe. So now they're like spinning off into a whole nother world that they're creating of like, because Star Wars Galaxy's Edge still falls in the timeline of all the Star Wars movies. This one, it's like it's a whole new timeline. So it like exists apart from the movies. I just thought that was interesting.
It's interesting. Hmm. It's like reading. Actually, you know what? I'm about to be so nerdy right now. I can't believe I just. It's like if you watch the Avengers when the Ancient One shows Bruce Banner the way the timeline works in the MCU, how if something doesn't go back, it branches into two possibilities. This is like a different possibility since technically they're coming from the same original storyline, right, of the MCU and where we first see them, but then it branches out, which is interesting, but also, I don't know. It's probably good, right? I mean, I had not literally thought about this before you said it.
I feel like there was just so much that happened that they had to make something up like that. Because, yeah, with any, like, a lot of the other Disney characters, it could be like, well, how come Ariel's, like, in her, you know, fins again for this? Or, you know, just stuff like that. And it's just, like, magic. But there's so much that happened in the MCU that it's like, okay, how do we explain this?
I mean, to be fair, the Ariel in her fin really doesn't make sense. Like, they never even came up with an explanation. They're just like, she's the mermaid girl. She's silver there. She wears a dress most of the time that never existed in the movies. For some reason, everyone else.
Tell us how you really feel.
Look, it should have been the pink dress. It should have been the pink dress.
It really should have.
And Sleeping Beauty should be wearing the blue dress. Mm-hmm. And Cinderella's dress should be, like, silvery. Period.
With
her strawberry blonde hair. And that's how I feel about it. Also, Belle's dress, it should be, like, not like it is. It's fine.
Well, it's so 90s.
It's just, like, so yellow. It's, like, really, really, really.
And the fabric is just so clothy. It's not, like, silk like it would be in real life. It's like, oh, here's my blanket. I turned into a beautiful ball gown.
I feel like kids' Halloween costumes from the 90s looked better than her dress
now. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But, yeah, back to Avengers Campus. I get why they want to do that timeline, because some of the newer characters are just not as popular as some of the original characters. So, I mean, with time, they'll get more popular, but...
Well, I think that some of that is warranted. I mean, the original three, the trilogy, mm-hmm. you know, of Thor, Iron Man, Captain America. For mm-hmm. me, they're still my favorite three. They're the ones, even now going forward to the movies, like, I'm very excited to see what happens in the MCU, but I don't mm-hmm. feel for them the same level, for the most part, mm-hmm. as those yeah. three. So I think that they had to find a way. I mean, yeah. really.
Although, life finds a way.
Yeah. I forget, did they even say what's going on with Thor? Like, he's just going to be meeting with Loki somewhere.
They're going to be doing their strip show again.
Good. Excellent. They got my comments. That's good to know.
You know, every time we leave Disneyland, we find the person doing the exit interview, and we're like, more stripper Thor, more stripper Loki.
Avengers After Dark After Dark. Thank you.
Avengers.
Assemble.
At night. N-I-T-E. So there's going to be like two key attractions in DCA, and then like two things they call attractions, but they're really like stores and meet and greets. So the first is Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure. That's going to be the first ride to open. That's the one where it's kind of like the Spider-Man ride in Universal, it looks like, and you shoot webs out of your wrist. But how does it work? Because you don't, in the pictures, they don't have anything. So like, is it just technology where you just move your hand and things shoot out?
Yeah.
I'm like, I've heard some things. Ooh. And I think it's going to be really good. Because I was not excited for this ride. Mm-hmm. And then when I heard the things that I heard, I was like, okay.
How competitive are you going to get on that ride?
Oh, too competitive every time. You know me. I'm like, it's just cool. I'm just like a casual girl. And then the second I'm like, I got to go work on there. It's not even about beating other people half the time. Like, I just want to do well. Like, I just need to know I'm, like, the galactic hero version of whatever is the Captain America. I'm going to be the number one Captain America.
I like you're like, I don't want to be best, but if I was like, oh, so-and-so's better at you than Millennium Falcon, you'd be like, no, they're not.
They're okay. Not. I highly don't think it's possible. Oh, my gosh. That you just reminded me. One of my quarantine sadnesses is that I didn't get to try the Chewy version yet.
Mode, yeah.
Eventually, when I do, I'll be the best at that as well.
The Spider-Man ride is going to be the first open. There's going to be an animatronic Spider-Man in the queue. There's going to be spider bots. I hope it's a combination of real things and screens. I hope it's not just all screens, but it probably will all just be screens.
We saw the spider bots at D23, right? Physical bots. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it'll be something in there like the little fuzzy... I never remember what they're called, from the little fuzzy cute babies from the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I just think of Captain EO, the little
fuzzballs.
Yeah, literally the fuzzball.
You're like, you lost me a fuzzball.
You know, what is that fuzzball called? The fuzzy thing, ball of fuzz.
So I would think there would at least have to be like some tangible ones of those in the queue so that yeah. it better helps to...
the experience.
Integrate them into the virtual
what
insanity.
If that animatronic Spider-Man that flips through the air, what if it like flipped into your vehicle?
Oh, that'd be very scary.
So what I heard, I don't know if this is official, is that anytime they're going to have the Spider-Man meet and greet, that animatronic's going to flip over to the meet and greet location, and then the actor's going to like come out and be like, hey guys, I just flipped on over here from Aunt May's house. I don't know what he's going to say. I'm not a writer. But that'd be a really cool like introduction, just like somebody's flying over your head, like, oh, time for meet and greet.
Cold steel.
Yeah, it's just fall.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's gonna look cool, but it's a little scary for me.
Because we've seen Westworld.
I like the idea. No, well, I just like, even if there's like safety precautions, I cannot help but imagine it just like full force falling. On me. Not anyone else, me.
That's but how you go.
I mean, I like that idea. It's a cute idea.
I wonder if they'll do that with other characters. Like, if they'll have a special, like, introduction for Captain America, for Thor.
Besides
the script show.
I cannot wait to have a new place to take a picture with Captain America. If they make it the shield again, I'm like,
no.
Look. I need to switch up these pictures. Talk.
It's going to be the stage from the first Captain America, and he's going to lift you up on a motorcycle.
Wow. Okay. I'll go there, I guess.
Because they're also going to have the Avengers Quinjet experience to be named. Or maybe that is the name. I don't know.
That one's going to go behind, though, right?
Oh, is it? That one's. I think it goes backstage a little bit, actually. Yeah. I think you're right. That's the one where, like, somehow you're all together and then you all break off into your separate missions and it's going to be, like, Flight of Passage. But you're, like, you're on your own more. So I'm curious. And they're showing different ride vehicles. I was watching a video on the different types of vehicles that can, like, it, like, feels like it's one unit and then it breaks apart.
I don't know. I have a hard time imagining how that's going to work still.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe they don't know how it's going to work yet still. I'm a little jealous. Isn't it Paris that's getting, like, the rock and roller coaster that's going to be, like, Tony Stark?
Yeah.
I have a rock and roller coaster here? I love that ride. Like, I truly, it might be my favorite. It's between that and Everest at Walt Disney World.
Ooh, they're going to retheme Pixar Pier roller coaster, the Incredicoaster, to Tony Stark's roller coaster.
That ride's not as fun. but I do kind of like a more tangible roller coaster type mm-hmm. ride. So for me, I'm always like, if they're virtual, they're not, I don't know, like, I'll enjoy
it. You want experience stuff, yeah.
But I'm always like, it doesn't feel physically as engaging as, like, a big fun ride.
Well, that's, like, why Rise of Resistance is so popular, because it's an actual, like, tangible ride experience. It's not just like, oh, here's a screen, here's another screen, oh, we're shaking to the left and to the right. Like, yeah, it just feels more real. What would your dream Avenger-style ride be?
To ride on Thor.
Thor strip show.
I do feel like Thor has, like, a very aesthetic... if we're going on a timeline where Infinity War and certain things never existed, Asgard is probably fine. So I do think Asgard is, like, probably the most aesthetic. I do think, like, Black Panther could be a really, really cool attraction. The music really leads to, like, a high energy. That soundtrack is, like, still really, really great for the gym for me, but...
In the Avengers Quinjet ride, you're actually going to Wakanda.
Oh, yeah.
So that doesn't count as, like, a Black Panther ride, but, you know, Wakanda is a part of the plot. Mm. So you're going to see the beautiful nation.
So you want Thor, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. I would love a Captain America-themed ride. Something where you go, but it's, like, the side of him where it's, like, oh, you have to go on all the USO tours, and, like, you're getting kind of depressed because you really want to serve your country in a different way.
You're making up a ride that's for two people. That's you and me. No one else cares about the ride.
But then you get to kiss Captain America at the end.
Yeah.
And then Allison killed me because
literally, I love Captain America so much, and even I'm like, that's not a ride that anyone really wants to go on. Because for so, I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for every human in this world, this quarantine society. But it's hard to think what Captain America is like. You take a ride on his principles.
And moral quandary. Yeah. I mean, will you join the United Nations or will you go?
I guess if there were a Captain America attraction, it could be something where you get the super serum and maybe you're experiencing things as through the eyes of Captain America.
Like an old fashioned fantasy land.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like maybe it's like kind of similar to what might be on the Spider-Man thing with, like, mm-hmm. the kind of, you're not Spider-Man, but you're kind of taking the role of what he would be doing.
Well, I guess the theme is that you're a new Avenger and they're training you, so it'd have to be some sort of training thing. So you should, I guess you would take the serum and, like, we're going to do human testing on you. Anything with Captain America would be some sort of moral quandary at one point.
No, it would be like a mix of, like, you're taking the serum, you have a mission. It can't be like Hitler. It has to, you know, maybe the Red Skull. I don't know. It's still too close to Hitler. but you would get the serum. And then it's like, what's it called in Epcot? Chess Track? Where yeah. instead of testing out a car, like, you're testing out your powers. So it's not, like, as storyline, like, because his story isn't there.
But well, that's kind of like the Hulk that, roller coaster.
I don't know. I haven't been there.
Yeah, that one, it's like you're going up this lift hill, and then all of a sudden you're, like, you Hulk out, and then you shoot up out of the, and then it's like you're experiencing the roller coaster as a Hulk.
You know what? I've convinced myself this is actually a really good idea. So we're going to have a
it is.
You get the really super serum, and then you're testing out what it's like to be Captain America. Oh my god, you get to be the captain of this.
I'm the captain now.
Disney, Bob, if you listen to this, either Bob's.
Yeah, anyone named Bob who works for Disney. what do you think about the sanctum with Doctor Strange and Pym's test kitchen, which is the place where they have, like, either really big food or really small food? I mean, Doctor Strange isn't my favorite personally. So that is just kind of an odd choice. Is he super popular? I never felt like he was that popular.
I really like Doctor Strange. I think
but they're also coming out with a new movie, so they have to, like, add something.
Yeah, and I think Doctor Strange is like the closest they have to a Tony Stark in that way, where he's still going to be in the movies for a while. So they have to shift the focus, you know? And as much as people love Paul Rudd, I don't think they super love Ant-Man. So I think that was their thing of, like, we gotta put someone in here. I am slightly surprised there's not a little bit more of a Black Panther thing, just because that movie did so unbelievably, like, well, and people are still talking about it a lot, I feel like, compared to some other MCU movies.
Well, and more Captain Marvel, because she's, like, the new head of the Avengers the new kind of de facto captain. So I'm surprised there's not, I mean, maybe when they developed it, those just weren't really characters that had been as introduced yet.
Or maybe it's possible, like, the older white men that work at Disney yes. and our executives don't really love the tiny blonde lady who's more powerful than anyone else. But it's fine.
All the rides are white men rides.
I mean, I'm just saying.
We figured it out.
To be fair, most of the Avengers are white men. But,
that's true.
Hey, you know what? They didn't give me a Hawkeye ride, so at least they're, like, not doing that.
Hey, we didn't give you a Black Panther ride, but we also didn't give you a Hawkeye ride. You're welcome.
Also, and you know what I thought is so weird is when this was opening, or supposed to open, is really close to when Black Widow was supposed to come out. And there's nothing really black. I mean, granted, I get, like, if they were keeping on a timeline where she was supposed to be a pest away, but if she's not, what's the point of not doing something Black Widow? Especially if it was, like, it just was supposed to come out.
I'm excited about the test kitchen because I just like the idea of really tiny and really big food.
I feel like, though, it's going to be normal-sized meat with a really small bun to be
probably.
Like...
Those photos just made it look like it's going to be food that's, like, hard to eat.
Like, a giant pretzel. It's going to be fun. Like, you're going to do it for the novelty, like, once for the pictures, and you're going to be like, I don't want to eat this much pretzel.
We could all split the pretzel.
Yeah, or then, like, you get a tiny
hamburger.
And
you would still have road bread of the pretzel.
Yes, I have a road pretzel ready to go. And, like, what if you have to buy, like, three $12 hamburgers to feel full? Like,
well, it's like the bun to meat ratio is going to be so off. Like, is it going to be tasty?
It's like the Where's the Beef commercial, but the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Okay, are we ready to move on to Magic Happens?
Did we come up with a question mark of when we think, I mean, Avengers Campus, when it will eventually open? I mean, if they're not working
winter.
On it now.
Yeah, I'm guessing, like, fall or winter probably, like right before Christmas maybe. Because they want to open it. They usually try to open it before a big season. It also depends, like, what if Disney's closed until, like, July? Then that's going to put it back even more.
The thing I keep being really curious about, because I haven't heard, is, like, if anyone knows how far along actual construction is. Like, I feel like people don't know. We're like, so are you almost ready to go? Or is there still going to be, like, 4 months?
I'm guessing it's March, April, May, June, like, 5 months left of construction. Let's say 4 or 5 months. So whenever they start again, add 4 or 5 months, unless, like, things really got behind beforehand.
I wouldn't be surprised if it pushed it back, like, till next year.
Yeah. I mean, what if they're, like, it's not open till summer 2021?
Well, because I feel like they also don't want to push it to where they have an influx of guests trying to get in, trying to figure out, like, how all this health stuff is working out. So I feel like they would want to hold off until they can try to regulate crowds and figure out what's going on.
So yeah, let's go to Magic Happens. So what are our general thoughts on the parade? So Jenny, you've seen it in person. You saw it preview day. I saw it. I've seen it several videos. So I will concede maybe it's different seeing it in person. Allison, have you seen the whole thing?
I've seen the videos. It's enough. I got it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm good. So general thoughts. Let's see if you agree with what I came up with. As the parade goes on, meaning like from the start to the beginning, things look like they got cheaper.
Start to the beginning?
Sorry. Start to the end. Beginning to the end. I don't know English. I'm too pretty. it just looks like things kind of get cheaper. Like, I feel like they put all their money in the beginning of the parade. And then as it goes on, they're like, and here's...
What's the first one?
The first one is the Mickey float.
Mickey. Yeah.
And then Moana.
Obviously, Merlin's my favorite, but he has the smallest, crappiest float known to man.
And Merlin's just awesome because it's Merlin. Like,
being well, and he's trying to make up for the fact he has an awful
float.
So. Literally almost a joke that his float is so bad and he's doing the most. That makes him great. Like, you're like, he knows he got nothing and he's like, but you're going to watch me and you're going
to... I'm going to be the star because there's nothing else to look at right now. I think the parade in general needed 4 times the amount of characters and dancers. It just seemed very sparse. And why are so many characters just walking? Like, there's just no float. They're just walking. And also music. I love the music.
So when I saw it and I saw the characters walking, I thought something had happened because I was watching on the first day. I was like, oh no, a float broke down. They just were like, what characters are in the back right now? Just go out and walk in the parade. And that was not it. They were meant to be there and it looked really weird.
I've never seen a parade with so many A characters just walking. Like, usually you have the A characters on the float, and then, like, it's the side characters or, like, 1 or 2 random characters will be walking, and then, like, the dancers. So, Jenny, what was it like watching it opening day? Or pre-opening day? Press day?
Well, first, I felt bad because I was with Emily and it was her bachelorette day. And I was like, peace, I'm going to go watch a parade. I know I should hang out with you and you don't even live out here. But I waited for it, which obviously they didn't tell people that it was happening. I just had inside information that it was happening at a certain time. And cast members wouldn't tell you otherwise. Like, I went up to one and was like, hey, just want to make sure that the parade's at whatever time. And they're like, what are you talking about?
What parade?
I don't know. And like, but then she was being kind of rude about it. I was like, okay, whatever, fine. I'm sorry. Like,
thanks, Jan.
I know. I didn't know what to think because as the floats were coming down, I just wanted there to be more. And like, I really thought that there were some breakdowns backstage. So I was like, when it ended, I was like, oh, wait, was that actually it? Like, did I
remember-
see the... full parade?
You showed me videos and I was like, oh, are certain floats just not ready? Is this like a test audience? And you were like, no, this
special effects not working.
Yeah. Oh, and this also, just side note, like, obviously if you love the parade, that's cool. This is just all of our personal opinions. Maybe they'll change over the time. The only thing I don't get is when people were saying this is the best parade Disney's ever done. That one went a little over my head. That I was just like, I'm like, I get if you love it and you think it's great, but like the best parade. Like,
Parade of Dreams, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, I just think...
That's my jam.
I mean, even, like, Paint the Night, like, they're just... There's other... Even
literally
Sensational.
Every other parade.
Like, I never liked
even
Sensational.
Even the Cavalcade, no.
Yeah, it is a character Cavalcade.
I love Sensational, actually. I don't think it was anywhere as big, but that like, when they came with the drums, I was like...
Yeah.
Yeah. it was weird that so many of the floats only had one character on them. Like, has there ever been a parade where every float only had one character?
I would have been fine with it if the floats did more.
Yeah.
Like,
there was a few really good ones, but most of them were just kind of like, oh, this is leftover.
Well, the problem, though, like, with the Moana float is I didn't even see what was happening because it wasn't dark. Like, it wasn't dark at all. But, like, people were saying if you see it at the later showing, you see a little bit more of the fix. Like, I didn't know there were lights on some of the stuff, but it still wasn't to, like, what I thought it should have been.
But they've done lights before. It needs to be lights and, like, some movie, some transformative... property.
Then they need to show it just at night. If it's not at its best during the day, then why don't they just show it at night? Like, that's the thing. It's supposed to be a daytime parade, at least that's what I thought. But I guess it's just the parade whenever they want to have it. daytime, nighttime, it's always the right time for magic happens.
Or it's never the right time.
It's never. This is not the moment.
I would be fine with them canceling the parade and just having a Merlin meet and greet again type yes. thing.
They can even take that float and put it somewhere, and it wheels out once a day with Merlin. And then that's the best use of that float.
It can go to the sword and they can have the ceremony again.
Yeah, yes. Literally just do the ceremony, dude. Yes. I miss that so
it
much.
Was so good.
When do I get to be, is it Michelle Tanner?
Yeah, Michelle. Well, yeah, it's Stephanie. See, I'm like Stephanie and you're like Michelle because we'd both go up and then I'd be like, I'm going to be princess for the day and it'd be my turn. But then they'd see your outfit and be like, oh, no, this girl's cuter. She gets to go first. And
she's more marketable.
She's more marketable. I'm like, she gets to be princess for the day. It was supposed to be me. What do you think of the Mickey float and I call it character cavalcade number one? Where it's the Mickey with Sorcerer's Mickey and then the weird Oz costumes and then the characters who are like playing, they're on their way to go play Dungeons and Dragons and they're not on the float because they're not good enough.
I just feel like the characters look like something that Todrick made up that like he had on his tour and was like, oh, do you guys want to borrow costumes from my latest tour?
I really like Wizard of Oz, but funky.
I mean, that's Todrick.
He's like, do you guys own Wizard of Oz now? Because I have it already.
Yeah. I don't really care for the costumes that much, but that's just me.
I didn't really... No.
You know what? It's like there's something about this parade, and it's like if the costume designer saw like Sensational, and then they were like, oh, I'm going to do that, but like by way of the Descendants. Do you know what I mean? But not like in, mm-hmm. like Descendants is like kind of cheesy, but like in a way that I enjoy. Whereas this is like, it thinks it's cool. Like, it's like Sensational is Riverdale season one, and then yes. Magic Happens is Riverdale any season other season. Three. Or, yep. like, especially now where they're like, it's actually cool, guys. And you're like, no, I thought you knew what you were, and I think you think you're, like, very cool.
You're not Twin Peaks anymore, Riverdale. yeah, I just think it's a bit insulting to Chippendale, Pluto, Goofy, Minnie that they have to walk behind the float like peasants. They should be on their own float. And it just looks so weird to me that each float only has one character. I know I keep going back to that, but it's just so...
It's very like, unceremonious.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, like, actually,
well, most of them have two. Like, Anna and Elsa, Naveen and Tiana, Merlin and what's-his-face,
and then the Sleeping Beauty one. But Moana's by herself, Coco's... I mean, Coco, it's there's characters on there, but it's one human. Mm-hmm.
The last float has a lot, but
yeah, that one has the most. But yeah, it's funny how the smaller floats they put more people. Like, look, it's not that small. There's two people. Look, there's two people on this float.
I'm realizing as you're saying the floats, I kind of enjoy some of the floats on their own, but yeah. There's something about them that like doesn't flow together for me. Like, I don't really understand like them as a. I don't know, like, it's, like, the way that it's put together, not so much the pieces. Like, I want, like, pizzazz, and I want them to, like, be more put together.
Yeah, I just wanted more transformations. I thought that was the whole purpose of this.
And magic. Like, what magic? It's, like, after the magic. Like, I don't want to see after the magic. I want to see the process of magic. Mm-hmm. And have Julie Andrews on there. Just going, hello, hippity-boppity.
She says, welcome to Genovia.
Yeah, welcome to Genovia. I am your queen. I liked the Moana float the best overall and, like, that whole section best overall because it had the most amount of dancers. It had technically two floats, which is more than anyone else had, I think. And, it like, I just thought that section was very well done. What was that like in person?
It was fine. But I mean, again, I couldn't really like see the effects that like that was going on for the float. So it was just like it was cool to see Moana, but I couldn't see like what was supposed to be like the cool part of the float.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird though. Like, so the parade at night. Everyone always says, "Oh, it's better to watch it at night." Then they should only show it at night. Like, if it just doesn't look that good during the day, or I don't know. I still don't think it's great at night, but I will admit I think it is better.
Mm-hmm. If it's about magic, why don't like the characters walking have some like prop or like magic-y? Yeah.
Why don't they do any sort of transformation? Like they do some sort of magic besides like lifting the sword out of the stone. I mean, I guess so. To the next float, Coco, that's magic because like there were dead people, but That's, yeah, I feel like they spent all the money on Coco and Moana, and they had, like, several sections, and then they're like, okay, we only have an eighth of our budget left.
I just feel like if they were able to make the Main Street windows into floats, that's what I would like to see. Like, because that's, like, there's the magical aspects in all of those windows. It's like, how come they couldn't be inspired by that to actually create, like, better floats?
Well, this is the question. I was going to talk about this later, but let's talk about it now. What we were promised delivered, meaning that they kept saying, oh, there's going to be transformations. You're going to watch Cinderella transform into her gown. You're going to watch the, you know, Tiana
she's just sitting in a pumpkin.
Yeah. No, there's no transformation. There's not any transformations. Not one. Nobody transforms. No magic is happening. The magic is it should be called Magic Happened.
What's the really good parade? Like the best parade ever is it in Tokyo?
I like the
Dream
Paris
Up
one a lot.
Isn't that what it's called? The one where like Peter Pan and Wendy like fly.
Yeah.
Like to me, that's what I thought it was gonna be like.
Mm-hmm. It's like Cirque du Soleil on floats. It's amazing.
Like that parade, I've never seen with my own eyes. I've seen like video, and it will make me cry. So I'm like, I kind of was like, I don't know. This parade is not like it's so trash. It's so horrible. But when you say it's gonna be magical and make you feel things, and like you see what other parks are doing, I'm like, it's not on the same level. It's just like, it's not.
It feels very chapek.
Well, just like one of the ideas that I had was like for the Cinderella float, what they should have done for a transformation is have the pumpkin, but have it where it like turns, where there's like two Cinderella Cinderella's in there, whatever. But like she's in her rags, like the pink dress all torn up, and then you have the fairy godmother doing her thing. There's stuff and like it turns, and then like she's in her pretty dress, like stuff like that is what I would have liked to see,
or at least some like sparkly effect, and like maybe the outside of the pumpkin could actually be moving and you could see like something.
And why wasn't the fairy godmother walking with her? Why was she part of the cavalcade? Did she forget where she was supposed to walk?
I literally I had that on my list. Like, why is the fairy godmother, like, in the character? I call it a character cavalcade number two, where it's just everyone walking. It's like, sorry, fairy godmother, we can only insure one person on each float.
Well, yeah, because everyone else was coupled up walking. Like, was it Tinkerbell and Peter Pan?
Yeah, Tinkerbell and Peter Pan. You had the genie and Aladdin. You had one other people, and then fairy godmother, blue fairy, and Pinocchio, and then fairy godmother on her lonesome. And it's like, why are you making the old lady walk? Like, that's so rude. The Frozen float was nice. I enjoyed that.
I don't like Frozen 2 with the aesthetic. I don't like fall and winter together. I think it clashes really weird. So I did not care for the costumes of the people, like the dancers. And just like, I don't know. I don't know why that aesthetic bothers me so much, but it does.
And they're like, F off, not Hans, what's his name? Kristoff, you have to walk behind the float and carry a bucket or whatever.
Actually, that's the only part of the parade I really, really want to see because I have a thing for Kristoff. And I want him to come over to me, specifically me. It better be me, not the person next to me, me. And show me the ring and be like, have you seen Anna? Like,
not the child next to you, you.
Me. Am I gonna dress like Anna maybe when I eventually see it? Maybe.
You're like, I am Anna.
I'm like, it's right here. It is me.
Put me in the wheelbarrow and take me away. I think the two flag guard dancers on repeat that they keep having throughout the parade is kind of weird. Like, it'd be really cool if they had, like, 10 people doing a flag dance.
Wait, what are you talking about?
So throughout the parade, after the Frozen float, there's several times where it's just two people holding flags doing, like, and it's just two people at a time. It's, like, two people, then another float, then two people.
I think I blocked that out of my memory because it was so bad.
Yeah, and they just have a flag. And they're all wearing – the whole second half, all the dancers are dressed kind of like in prince. They kind of are dressed like Hans, like, kind of princely outfits. And there's only ever, like, two of them at a time because they had to spread them out throughout the parade, I guess, because they only could afford 10 people. So let's talk about the highlight of the parade, Sword in the Stone. Stupid float, but great Merlin.
Yes. MVP.
And you know he's getting paid the same as everyone else.
But you know he's like, I am the favorite part of this whole thing, so I don't even care.
I'm the star. I do like the moment where they pulled the sword out of the stone, but I wish they had, I think you came up with this, Jenny, that they have a whole like dance team of Merlins. and they just,
no, I was saying I want Mad Madam Mim.
Oh yeah, she should be doing transformations. Like, oh, I'm a cat, I'm a bat, or whatever she transforms.
I mean, I would have just liked to see the character, because like,
well, yes, I love Mad Madam Mim.
Have they ever had her in the parks?
I don't think they have.
Not that I know of.
Mm-mm. Princess and the Frog, I think it's pretty. It's just a little lackluster. Like, oh, there's things that move. It looks like a Tournament of Roses parade float to me.
It does. I mean, yeah. I like all the green, but yeah, it definitely looks
but
like
But the Tournament of Roses has aspects of the floats that, like, move and do things.
That is true.
I feel like more than this parade.
Oh, yeah. They put the girl, you know, the Girl Scouts of America put much more effort into creating. I got to decorate the Tournament of Roses parade when I was a Girl Scout, and I got to glue. I remember I did the Dr. Pepper float, and I got to glue flowers on the witch's house.
I don't remember the floats that I did. I did it for like 3 or 4 years.
In my youth group.
It's all the, you know, Girl Scout youth groups, young people organize free labor.
Where after 2 hours, I was so bored. I'm like, can I do something else? Because this is boring.
And you know me, I'm really sloppy. And I'm like, I'm shocked they're letting me glue directly onto this parade. Because what I just did looks awful. Somebody's going to need to fix this.
Some adult had to come in and fix all your work later.
Like, this is awful. Don't tell the child. I love that, you know, there's some Princess and the Frog love. But yeah, I feel like she should have had a more elongated float. Like if it was several, if it was stretched out and it was like that whole garden theme and she and Naveen were on the back and like maybe they had Lottie at one point. They had, what's the firefly? Must be Evangeline.
Ray.
You know, they had more characters on there. And it just, you know, was they give a little more love to that than just like a I just don't like how small it was.
I think that's the most beautiful float for me. Like, I love mm-hmm. Tiana. It just looks small. Like, it looks kind of like, okay, it's nice. Like, it's nice.
Like, Paint the Night, I don't think, like, it's fine if that's a secondary float. Like, you know how they have, like, the main float and then they have, like, the one behind it? That, it just shouldn't be the main float. Even when they showed the Magic Happens thing, you know how Disney did the virtual parade? They cut that part out. All the little floats, they kept – the whole thing they showed was only 8 minutes because they cut out all the little floats. They only showed them for like 1 second because even Disney's like, this is sad. This is not good. So – and then lastly, we have the Sleeping Beauty float, which reached capacity at having 5 people. I mean, that was
– I do think it's cute. I do think it's cute.
But yeah, that the Sleeping Beauty, the float itself, I don't really care for. It's just cool that there's 5 people on it and it moves. So yay.
It does.
What do you think of Sleeping Beauty's dress?
I think I liked it. I'm trying to remember. I mean, I would have liked to see a better, like, transformation. Oh, okay, there it is. Yeah, I would have liked to see a better transformation between... I mean, and I personally always loved Sleeping Beauty in her blue dress. Like, I loved it when she used to be in the park in her blue dress.
Correct.
I like pink.
Correct decision. You're wrong. It's okay, Jasmine, that you're wrong. I'm sorry.
I just felt like blue looked so much better. I don't know, but... But yeah, this dress is still very, it's still very pink with blue.
Yeah, and it's like depending on which way she turned, it like had one side had like more blue material, one side had more pink material. Like it's a clever idea, but like if I saw someone, a cosplayer at a convention, I'd be like, oh my gosh, that's so clever, that's so cool. But like to see it at a theme park, it's like.
Also, I think it's one of those things where because people have photoshopped the transformation happening on like Aurora in the parks like before, it's just like even if they can't recreate that, that's kind of what people want to see. So if you can't do the effect, like it's a fine looking dress, but there's no effect to it. Like they couldn't have put some type of LED under part of it so it looks maybe like it's moving or there's like something.
Well, and if they did it at night, you know that fabric that like Zendaya wore that dress and the fabric itself lit up?
Yeah. Like, I mean, does it? I haven't seen it at night. Maybe it does.
I don't think it does. But
yeah. I mean, I feel like someone's going to listen to this and be like, well, don't you know? I was like, I haven't seen it, okay?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
We prefaced.
I didn't care. I saw the pictures and I was like, this is not worth going out.
When I see this in person, am I going to probably cry? Yeah, it's Disney.
Yeah,
I'm going to cry.
The music gets me and then I'm just going to like think about
the emotion.
Walt Disney.
Oh. And if like... And if none of us had seen it, I would be like, okay, maybe it's just seeing it in person's different. But Jenny's seen it, and your reaction was not that impressed. And I feel like you're just like...
I felt really bad once I met back up with Emily. I was like, I'm sorry I was gone for so long. Like, maybe I should have stayed with you.
I just wish there was one transformation, one magic happening in front of my very eyes, besides the magic of parades and joy in my heart.
I mean, I feel like there should be ways, like, and I understand the reality of, like, some things not being super, you know, realistic to create. But, I mean, they do, like, the Elsa transformation in the musical. There's not, like, for one character where you could just, maybe the top or something is the same, or you pull, or, like, Dolores in Westworld, like, it looks like a dress, but then you pull it in the top, and then, like, it doesn't even have to be that great. I just feel like there's, like, the act of the transformation and, like, the physicality of it that it's not in this parade.
Yeah, and it would have been cool if they had had, like, a dragon, like, Maleficent's dragon breathing fire like they do in Disney World.
Oh, I loved seeing that at Disney World.
Yeah, just something. And I was watching old parades floats, and, like, there's that one in Pixar. Is it Pixar Play where, like, they're swinging? Not Pixar Play, Sensational, where it's, like, the gym. I call it the gymnastics one where they're swinging back and forth. There's
Pixar
not like a
Play
lot of
used to have that.
Okay, it was Pixar. Yeah, because you were right. It was Woody. I feel like we only hold it to such a high standard because we know what Disney can do.
Well, because with Parade of Dreams, I just think of like the Pinocchio float and like things that they were like, there was just so much stuff that they did in that. And I loved the Showstop and like the Brother Bear song, which no one knew it was from Brother Bear. Apparently, I was one of the few. They're like, oh, that's a cool song for the Bear. I'm like, it's from Brother Bear. But, like, that parade, I just, like, I feel like I expect so much more now from Disney, especially because when they did, like, Paint the Night, and they were like, yeah, this is so much better than the Electrical Light Parade. It's like, and then we get this, like, daytime parade when they've done so many other things, and it's kind of like, oh, so is this an in-between parade that's, like, really going to last, like, I don't know. It's probably going to last a while now, too, with budgets.
Oh, yeah. I will say, like, it is beautiful. Like, I think it on its own, a lot of the things are very pretty. I think the music's incredible, and I miss having an original song.
I'm sure I'm being very picky about it. It's like a parade. It's a nice parade. It's a lovely parade.
I just didn't like that I didn't have any expectations, but I still was disappointed.
Yeah. It just is not, like, you kind of expect them to always be topping themselves, and for it to just be, like, it does feel very, like, oh, they just didn't want to spend more money on it. Like, if they'd spent a lot more money, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they spent, like, tons and tons of money on it. But it just felt like they could have hired a few more people. They could have, God forbid, put some more characters on a float and not just made them walk the walk of shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something about some of them walking with, like, no purpose. Yeah. And maybe if they had given them something to do, I don't know.
Did they just pull, like, random people? Like, okay, you're not on break right now. You're not on break
right
now.
See, that's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought when I saw it. I was like, oh, all these random people are out right now. Like,
yes.
Why are they here?
What do you do? Did your break end early?
And hey, like, hey, okay. Do you have time to, like, do some magic right now real quick?
Yeah. You need to get some steps in?
Like, you don't get bumped for another hour. You're in the parade, baby. Let's go. Yeah.
So any final thoughts? I mean, I want to end on a positive note. We all love the music.
Well,
so.
I work out with, like, when I'm working out, that's on my workout soundtrack. Like, it's on my playlist, so I'll play
the
it at some point.
The soundtrack of your workout life.
Yum.
Yeah. Because you're making magic happen with your body.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see it in person just to see if it's what I think it's going to be. I do think it's pretty good job. I like that it's new. Good job doing something new. End of list. Any final thoughts?
I think it's best to go into this parade, not like getting super hyped up by the, because to me, the online reaction, like the media day and then the official first day was so huge of just everyone posting every single float and like, oh my God, the most amazing parade. I'm like, don't think it's like, just go, like, I'm going to watch a nice parade. And I'm sure it's going to be like, looking at some of the floats again while we're talking, I'm like, yeah, I think they're very nice. I just don't think they are like the most amazing. Like,
I knew I was going to get hate, though, like the day after when I posted my little review about how, like, it wasn't that great. Like, I knew people were going to come at me, but I was like, whatever. I'm not going to pretend like I loved it just because I saw it the first day.
I mean, and I also want to say, like, it's not the cast members in the parade. I feel everyone's doing a great job. It's just, I feel like there's something with, like, the online expectations where I'm always like, I love Disney, but you can love Disney and, like, be critical. That's like, you know, tell them what we want to see. So next time we get a new parade, maybe there'll be more transforming things like dresses.
Yeah, but see, the problem is when we tell them, when they give us something mediocre and we're like, this is the best thing ever, and then they're like, okay, well, here's some more
exactly.
Mediocrity. This is a relationship with Disney, and they got us a single carnation for Valentine's Day. Like, we're not going to break up, but, like, you need to do better.
And, like, that's nice. At least he remembered Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
They like, remembered Valentine's Day.
Yeah. But, like, next year, roses, baby. Yeah, everyone in the parade was amazing. All the work, like, the floats, like, were very well crafted. I'm sure they all had to work within, like, a certain budget, too. Like, the costumes were really beautiful. Like, the hair was amazing. The dancers were amazing. Everything was amazing. Everyone who worked on it did a really good job. It just was, like, just, you know, it's the usual problem.
Oh, that reminds me.
Money.
They had to have run out of money while making it, because I remember seeing, like, Moana art of her outfit. And, like, they didn't even, like, go through with giving her the full different outfit.
Oh, like, I didn't even realize that.
They just threw flowers on her, and they're like, see?
Done.
New.
Perfect. I was reading old reviews, and it was saying, like, oh, you're going to watch Cinderella transform from her rags to her ball gown. You're going to watch, transform from the frog to the princess. Like, you're going to watch, you know, King Arthur become a man. Like, you know.
Oh.
I don't know. Yeah.
Is that appropriate for Disney?
Yeah. Wink. you know, you're going to see Sleeping Beauty transform in her magical dress. Like, but that just wasn't, I don't know, maybe that was just marketing. And they're like, transform. Did you see her transform? It was awesome.
But nothing happened. She just stood there.
Magic had already happened. Yeah.
Not maybe. I'm just going to think of Jenny now. Like, but Cinderella was just in the pumpkin. She just stood there. She's like.
Making her poor fairy godmother chase after her. Like, God forbid they even give her, like, a little float behind. No, they're like, no, we got to run after her. So I hope you enjoyed the first half of the episode, and now to the second half. So back in January, I interviewed Ron Schneider at the Polynesian Resort in Orlando. Ron not only has played, he was the original dream finder for Journey into Imagination at Epcot, but he is also a Disney buff and a historian, having been to Disneyland the first day it was opened to the public. So that was July 18th, 1955. He worked at several theme parks doing everything from writing to performing at Disney, Universal, Magic Mountain. He's led such a fascinating life. He's the most famous for being dream finder, but he's done so much more. Just talking to him about Disney history and all the things he's seen was so fascinating. But yeah, he was the original dream finder. He was a walk around character in the park. If you want to find out more about the amazing early version of that ride, currently it's Journey into Imagination with Figment, which is okay. But that ride used to be this amazing, completely other, different, whimsical journey, literally a journey into imagination. We talk about it in an old episode of 1313 Harbor. It's titled Epcot 1995, Spaceship Earth and Journey into Imagination. It's one of my favorite episodes. I would recommend if you haven't listened to that before you listen to this episode, and you'll just see how iconic Ron Schneider is and what an amazing person, just a piece of his work. He was an absolute delight, Ron. He came and met us at the Polynesian Resort. I wish I could have talked to him for 6 hours just about theme park history alone. You can learn more about Ron and his fascinating life from his book, From Dreamer to Dreamfinder, A Life and Lesson Learned in 40 Years Behind a Name Tag. Where you can find it wherever books are sold. I have the audiobook. I got it from Audible. He does the narration himself. He is a man of 1,000 voices. He's just fun to talk to. He's a character. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my interview with Ron Schneider. What were your trips like to the early Disney archives?
Well, I saw this article in Variety saying that they were going to start these archives, and this fellow named Dave Smith had been hired away from UCLA to organize it. So I dropped him a line. So I said, listen, I'd love to come visit sometime. And Dave, whenever Dave got a message like that from any fan, answered them right away. And I got a letter right away from him saying, oh, yeah, give me a call. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, hell yeah. So I called him. He said, oh, come on up. So I go out to Disney Studios, and I drive on property for the first time, and it looks just like it does on TV. You know, the college campus, guys carrying giant pictures of outdoor scenes, you know. And go up to the top floor of the animation building, and there's this office way at the end, and knock on the door. And Dave answers the phone, and Dave looks like the stereotypical librarian, you know, this this closeted creature, kind of like a tortoise. And he brings me in, and the first room we're in is completely packed with all of Disney's history. I mean, nothing is behind glass walls or in file cabinets or in climate controls room. It's just sitting there. And you walked in, and the first thing I saw in front of me was this beautiful blonde wood hutch with glass shelves, and stacked on it is the cells from Steamboat Willie. And he lets me pick one up. And there's water spots on it. I said, what are the water spots? He says, it was being stored under a leaky pipe. And if he hadn't rescued it, it would have been lost.
Oh, my gosh.
And there in the middle of the room was the first Lincoln robot. And next to that is a wardrobe cart on which is hanging the Zorro costume and the Davy Crockett costume and the Holy of Holies, Annette's sweatshirt.
And, I remember you describing that in your book.
and it was just amazing. And then he told me the room we were in was Walt's secretary's office. He went to the next room. We were in Walt's working office. And then we went into Walt's formal office, which hadn't been touched in the 4 or 5 years since Walt had passed, just been dusted. Mm-hmm. And I got to use Walt's bathroom, which the wallpaper was all tiny steam trains. It was wonderful. Dave has been had been a wonderful friend of mine all my life. He treated me like all of Disney treats its guests all the time. He was wonderful to me all my life. And I miss him, and I think we owe him the world for what he's done for the fans and for the company. That was my first visit.
That's amazing. It's so awesome that they started, like, they didn't wait until, like, 1990 to start preserving everything. They started everything.
If they had, it would have all been lost.
All been gone.
He had to go around and reclaim it from all over the company. People who were working for the company did not know what they had. And this has been true of the history of Disney for many, many years. They never quite knew what they had. The 25th anniversary of Disneyland... it was the first time they really celebrated an anniversary, really did a thing. And they came out with commemorative merchandise, which was all sold out. There was none of it available at Disneyland the day of the 25th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Because the fans had all snapped it up. They had the 24-hour party that night. And it was just, the park was just nicely packed. It was just nice, wonderful crowds, people having a wonderful time. Now... Disney suddenly realizes, oh my gosh, these people will come to anything and buy anything, any extruded plastic gigaw we come up with. And so now they know what they have.
Yep. Traditions haven't changed. It's still like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
It took me so long to get my Baby Yoda Mandalorian sweatshirt. No. It was constantly sold out.
Jamie won't shut up about it. Baby Yoda!
So is there any part of Disney history you wish had been better preserved? That you look back and you're like, I wish this was still around.
Mine Train.
Yes, I think about that.
Nature's Wonderland. Mm-hmm. That there was nothing like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that. Just the sheer scale of it. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, it had 100 plus animatronics.
Yeah. You know what I've always imagined them doing was a Soarin'. Mm-hmm. You could recreate old Disneyland with that ride.
You really could.
You could recreate the original Peter Pan's flight, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, with that ride.
That's such a good idea.
You could take people back to Disneyland of the 1950s with that ride. Mm-hmm. And the fans would love it. Mm-hmm. I think that anybody would.
Yeah.
So that there's all of that. But having been born in 52, and my fascination's always been Disneyland and the theme parks, as opposed to... I never clicked at Mickey Mouse, never clicked at anything with the cartoons or anything like that. I'm a fan, but for me, it's always been the parks, and I was born in 52, so I was there for it. So, no, I'm fine. I love when they change things and bring in something new. Sometimes it's a home run, sometimes it's not.
Yep.
they opened Twilight Zone Tower of Terror here the same day that they opened Food Rocks. Which is just their way of saying 50% of the time we get it, 50% of the time we don't. I'm very happy with where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm all for change. Just sometimes it's nice when you can go back and remember.
Oh, yeah.
And just look at the nostalgia.
And there's enough nostalgia out there for
yes.
it. Right there, that you can be placated, and thank God we've got the internet and YouTube, and everything's preserved, everything's filmed, and everything's preserved.
It makes my job so much easier now with YouTube. If I had to do this podcast, like, and I had to go to the library every week, it'd be once a year episode. Mm-hmm.
So now let's get into your work as Dreamfinder.
Yes.
The highlight. So what is it like to be such a beloved character?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I've always felt beloved. At first it was just a tremendous challenge because nobody had ever done this character before. Mm-hmm. All I had to go on was the ride. And I wanted to, as I say in my book, available on Amazon.
Yes, your book, From Dreamer to Dreamfinder, A Life and Lesson Learned in 40 Years Behind a Name Tag.
That's it. I felt an obligation to bring the character and the ride to life. You know, in the theme parks, all parents want to do is get the kid's picture taken with the monkey. their reasoning is, well, that other guy had his kid's picture taken with a monkey. I want my kid's picture taken with a monkey. On top of which, then they bring in autograph books, and everybody's got to get, a check in their autograph book. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't have lasted. But the character is such a rich character. He's the process of imagination. I could talk about anything. I could talk about Walt Disney. I could talk about the history of Epcot. I could talk about myself as a character. Mm-hmm. The only thing I wouldn't talk about was Ron Schneider. And so I had to find a way to bring that out in the guests, to force them to play with me. Mm-hmm. And I did that by treating them like sparks of inspiration, like I'd never seen a child before. And this kind of tricked them into playing, which not only made the experience better for them, but it entertained all the people who were standing around waiting to have the picture taken. So so I enjoyed that very much, and that I missed that, the look on the kids' faces, and the way that the guests would interact with me, and I missed the dragon, I miss having Figment on my arm. But now, I mean, for many years, nobody gave a darn. And then after the D23 event in 2011, suddenly everybody remembers me and Dreamfinder. And so I've got all these fans, people who, a lot of them actually remember the Dreamfinder. And I get to meet a lot of people and talk about imagination and Walt Disney and do a lot of podcasts like this. Yes. And I dearly love it.
How much of the character were you able to develop and make your own?
Everything about him that wasn't bolted to the chair inside, everything that wasn't nailed to the stage. So I got to figure out how to animate the dragon, and I played two characters, and I wanted to make sure that they had two separate mindsets, two different processes. So I had to teach myself that, and figure out how I was going to interact with people outside of the park while keeping everything that made the character so precious in the building. So just about all of that was mine. I had other Dreamfinders. I felt I had the responsibility to teach them what I was doing, but I didn't have the authority. So everybody kind of did their own approach to the character, and some people got it better than others.
It's just such an amazing, and it's so amazing to me that, like, it's the essence of Epcot. Dreamfinder and Figment.
He was once, yeah.
Yeah, to me, Figment, they still try to make the IP as much as they have a complicated relationship with him sometimes. Like, it's amazing, like, he just made such an indelible impression on everybody.
Well, it all of Epcot was it wasn't about the future, it was about your future. Mm-hmm. It was about you in the future, finding your place on this planet. And imagination was the place where it all came down to you. Dreamfinder says in the ride, imagination is something that belongs to all of us. This is the point where all of Epcot comes down to you and your place in things. I met a lot of people through the years and years who found their calling in life from Epcot Center, from an experience they had at Epcot Center. And so we're kind of getting away from that now slowly. I feel that I love what they're doing with the new theming and all this stuff. But there was a purity to Epcot Center. You know, it took a lot of guts for Card Walker and Don Tatum and Ron Miller to say to the Imagineers, okay, you want to build a park with no Mickey Mouse? Do it. Here's the money. Do it. And the Imagineers had their vision of something very pure and very different. Then other people came along and said, well, you gotta sell Mickey Mouse. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a different thing. Mm-hmm. And we lost
quite a bit of the original intention, yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, I hadn't been to Epcot in so long, walking around and seeing the, like, the newer buildings that they had built versus the classic buildings, and how amazing all the architecture was for the classic buildings, and then some of the newer buildings are just square boxes. So it's, and it's, I wonder as they update it if that's going to be more noticeable, if it's going to blend more.
Yeah, the epitome of that is the Guardians of the Galaxy yes. building. Talk about blocks. I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. If Disney decided to redo Journey and add Dreamfinder back in, what would you like to see him do? Or do you not want him to be
stay
out?
Home?
Yeah, stay home.
If they were going to bring back Dreamfinder, a couple things. Like what they did the comic book, Jim Zub talked to Tony Baxter and went back to the source material, went back to the original intentions. I'd love it if they called me to act as consultant, at least for as far as the guest interaction is concerned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of scared. They might. It's tough to say. Mm-hmm. I heard a rumor one time that they were going to do a 3D movie about Dreamfinder's son coming back to the Imagination Pavilion, and he has no imagination, and Figment takes him in hand and shows him the power of his own imagination. And there was talk of either Nathan Lane or Jack Black, which I think would have been hysterical as the new Dreamfinder. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind if they did a Dreamfinder that was based on the Dreamfinder in the comic book. Mm-hmm. Tall and thin and good looking, like me. So I really don't know. I would love to see what they do with it, and I'd be scared to death as well.
How did you react to Dreamfinder being removed from the ride?
Well, I was long gone. Oh. I was long gone. I was only there the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. From 82 to 87. So most of the time people come up to me with a picture saying, here I am with you. And no, it isn't me, it's Steve Taylor. Steve Taylor did it for 15 years. And he's got the scars to prove it. So I was surprised as hell. More surprised that they took the ride out than that they lost Dreamfinder. I know that Michael Eisner was no fan of Figment. And I'm very well aware of the irony of having this big old fat guy with a beard taking pictures with small children in this day and age.
Santa does it all the time.
So. Yeah, that's very true. But he just works seasonally.
So now I wanted to talk a little bit about your theme park work outside of Disney. What was your favorite non-Disney project to work on?
I've always asked what my favorite job was, because I've had so many. It's tough to say. Mm-hmm. Because each one of them was wonderful in its own way. Mm-hmm. You know, I kept following my bliss and taking jobs that most of them no one had ever done before. Most of the time I was the figurehead for a project. But I think if you phrase it that way, my favorite job was being in charge of the celebrity lookalikes at Universal Studios Florida when it opened. I was writing and hiring and training and directing the Marx Brothers and the Blues Brothers and Laurel and Hardy and W.C. Fields and Marilyn Monroe. I worked with the most wonderful talent pool of people. We brought these characters back to life. We weren't just posing for pictures. Mm-hmm. We were these characters to the life. And that was terribly exciting.
Did you find, like, a lot of people, locals to Florida? Did you have people fly in?
Most of what we had were locals. Mm-hmm. Remember, we always had a tremendous talent pool in Orlando because of Disney.
Yeah, it's true.
And so we had them to draw from. We did a nationwide, or at least the eastern half of a nationwide search for people. But the one guy that we got from that was a Belushi lookalike, who turned out just to be just like John Belushi. So he didn't last very long with us, and I don't know how long he lasted in the real world either.
He was really into his character.
He was doing a lot of research. The fellow we wound up getting was actually from New York, I believe, and he's still doing it.
Oh, good.
This is 30 some years ago. He's still with the Legends in Concert doing Jake Blues. Yeah.
And then, what is something we'd be surprised to know that you worked on?
I spent. Please forgive me for this. Yeah. I spent 2 years writing shows for Chuck E. Cheese. It was fun at the time. It was challenging, but it was Chuck E. Cheese. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I love Chuck E. Cheese.
You're the guy. It was fun. I was working with a wonderful guy and some talented people. But I was severely limited in what I could do with it. At the same time, within those limitations, which is always a good thing, limitations, because it keeps you from going off the track. But I could do just about anything I wanted to do, and tell these stories. And I didn't know I could write that much stuff, and that well. I got into writing a lot of lyrics for songs. I didn't know I could do that.
Well, thank you so much. That's all my questions. Thank you so
much. That's it.
Yeah.
We haven't done.
Thank you so much. That was delightful.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed listening to that interview as much as I enjoyed recording it. It was such a privilege to meet Ron. He's such a great person. If you ever get a chance to meet him, if you see him around Disney World or the Orlando area, tell him that you love him and that Jasmine sent you from 1313 Harbor, the podcast. So this podcast will be taking a hiatus. We'll be back soon, or I'll be back soon. I just need to line up some guests and get everything ready. So thank you for listening for the last month, the 1313 Harbor, the podcast quarantine edition. You have all been wonderful. I look forward to returning from the hiatus with new guests, new topics. You can visit our website at 1313harborthepodcast.com. You can email us from there. You can buy a shirt. We have our 1313 Harbor Paris of the South shirts. On Instagram, it's 1313 Harbor the Podcast. That's the handle. Twitter is 1313 Harbor. Special thanks to Abby, Ashley, Danny, David, Jennifer, Lauren, Mandy, Sean, Tiffany, Tori, Valerie, Winnette, and Jenny, our patrons. If you'd like to be a patron, visit patreon.com/1313harborthepodcast. We will be taking a break from Patreon as well, but that's a great way to connect. There's lots of bonus episodes if you want even more content. Thank you everyone for listening again. I know I keep thanking you, but really thank you. This podcast means the world to me, and the fact that you guys are still with me is so awesome. So thank you. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for all being awesome. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, so anytime that we have new episodes, you'll know when they come out after our hiatus. So wherever you get your podcast from, make sure to rate and review so then more people can find us. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate every single one of you. You mean so much to me, and thank you for letting me do this awesome show and just giving me an outlet for my theme park nerddom. And for one last time, until we come back from our hiatus, to all who come to this happy podcast, welcome.